This evening we are blessed with the presence of seminarian Pradeep Hatcher. Pradeep is a member of St. Gregorius Orthodox Church in Spokane, Washington, which is a parish under our diocese. And Pradeep is currently studying as a second-year seminarian at St. Vladimir's Orthodox Theological Seminary in New York. And at this time, we invite Pradeep to lead us in the devotional message for this evening.
Thank you, Atin. Baruch Hu, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one true God. Grant us, O Lord God, the knowledge of your divine words, and fill us with the understanding of your holy gospel, the richness of your divine gifts, and the endowments of your Holy Spirit. And grant us that with joy we may keep your commandments, perform and fulfill your will, and become worthy of your blessings and mercies from you, our Lord and our God, now and always and forever. Amen. My respected and beloved fathers, Baruch Mor, the deacons, and my sisters and brothers, we have been, of course, relating to this time of year, in which we celebrated the Transfiguration. We've been discussing ideas related to that theme of Transfiguration. And so I'm continuing with that today, and I want to talk about seeing Christ in others. So if you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to start out with the passage of the Transfiguration itself from St. Matthew chapter 17. And I will be at verse 2. Again, St. Matthew chapter 17, verse 2. And he was transfigured before them, his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. His face shone before them, his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. So we know, of course, that the disciples, Peter, James, and John, who went with Christ, for the first time had seen Christ and seen the kingdom in him and seen his glory in a way that they had not before, that he was transfigured before them on Mount Tabor. Now, I want to flip a few chapters later to Matthew chapter 25, verse 40. Matthew chapter 25, verse 40. Amen, I say to you, whatever you did for one of these least brothers of mine, you did for me. Whatever you did for one of these least brothers of mine, you did for me. So Scripture is very clear that we can find Christ in our sister and our brother, and particularly in our needy neighbor. And so just as Christ was transfigured before the eyes of those three disciples that he took with them, and they saw the kingdom in him, we as Christians have to learn and strive very earnestly to see the glory of Christ in our fellow human beings. And if we cannot do that, we cannot say that we truly love a person if we can't see Christ in them. And of course, our goal, and I apologize for those of you who have heard me speak before, I tend to repeat the same things over and over again. This is one of these times, so I apologize. But remember that our goal as Christians is not to be one with God just by ourselves. We're created to be one with him communally. That is our concept of salvation, to be united with each other, united with God. And so if we cannot truly love someone, we will not be able to go to heaven with our sisters and brothers in our arms. And so, truly loving them, seeing Christ in them, we have to understand that this is something that has to be developed in us. And some of us, of course, are naturally better at not judging people and seeing the good in them right away, but of course, this is something that we all have to work on. So, of course, practical ways of doing this. And before I start out with this, some of these practical ideas, I want to share a story with you that really affected me and how I saw people growing up and still does. My dad, who is a social worker, very often when we're on the streets, a lot of people will come up to my dad. He just has a knack of attracting people on the streets. My mom likes to tease him and say it's because he has the face of a sucker. But my dad definitely is friendly and kind, and so a lot of people come up to him, and very often this means, and it did growing up for sure, people that are asking, are trying to sell him things, or people that may have a slight mental illness that they're working through, or an addiction, or they're coming and asking him something, whatever it may be. And so when I saw these interactions my dad would have with these people, after a while I started to realize that he was listening to them in such a sincere way. And if I had put myself in that situation, and I often did find myself in those situations and still do, when I'm talking with someone who may be annoying to us or a bit off or somewhat awkward in this situation, I'm thinking to myself, kind of hope that this awkward situation resolves itself quickly, and even though I may be pretending to listen to them, in my weakness, I'm thinking about my own comfort. And I noticed that my dad always would listen to them so sincerely, no matter who you were and no matter how aggressive your personality may have been or how maybe quirky that you may have been, my dad would listen to you and take a sincere interest in what you had to say. And so I learned from my dad this way of seeing Christ in others and to give everybody the time of day and to listen to everyone as if they were your closest friend, even if they're someone you don't know, even if they're someone who makes you uncomfortable. You must see Christ even in the least of our neighbors, even in the least quote-unquote, because we know that no one is above us in our social circles, though we judge them and put them down in our ladder, so to speak, of our social circles. And I want to share another sentiment with you from an Orthodox priest actually near my hometown in Vancouver, B.C., up in Western Canada. And this Orthodox priest is not Indian Orthodox, but he's a member of another jurisdiction. And he was talking specifically to people about mission work and how sometimes even in the mission field, trying to bring Christ into the church, Christ to others, to bring them into the church, sometimes we can pass by people on the street, and let's say this person has lots of piercings, lots of tattoos, and we may walk by them without even a second thought, or walk by them and immediately dismiss them. But even when we've ignored them, we just walk past them, we've judged them. And we have to ask ourselves, no matter who the person is, no matter what their personality is like, no matter what they look like, can we imagine ourselves praying with this person, no matter who they are, wherever we see them? Can we imagine praying alongside them? Can we imagine them standing in front of us in the line for communion, to receive Holy Qurbana? And if we can't imagine doing those things, we can't say to ourselves that we truly love our neighbor, that we truly love this person. And we are called, of course, to love everyone, because God desires that all return to him, and God created us to be, again, one with each other, and then one with him. So remember that we are all broken, and that no one is beyond returning to him. But very often, even the mission field that this priest was saying, we will just simply ignore them, or not even consider the possibility that they could walk into our church one day, as they are. Of course, we all have things that we need to work on, but we need to truly and earnestly desire that everyone in the country share the love and peace of Jesus Christ. And we have already judged them by ignoring them. And we've judged them when we simply don't yearn for them to share this love. We have to yearn for every person to share in this grace of Jesus Christ. I want to turn now to St. Luke chapter 6. St. Luke chapter 6, verse 37, which is actually part of the gospel reading we read this past Sunday. Stop judging and you will not be judged. Stop condemning and you will not be condemned. Stop judging and you will not be judged. One beautiful sentiment that Mother Teresa shared is that when you judge someone, you have no time to love them. And so we must desire to see Christ in others, and we first can do this by not judging them, simply. And of course, it's such a struggle for us not to judge people. We judge all the time. It's just part of our nature. But we have to see the value and see the glory of Christ in everyone, no matter who they are. Because we see the potential in everyone as we were all created in the image and likeness of God. And so a couple other practical ideas as we develop this ability to see Christ in others, God willing. Make it a point to pray for specific people. Now, people come and ask us all the time for prayers, ask us to pray for them or to pray for specific issues, and we might earnestly say yes, but we tend to forget or we tend to pray for it in passing. And especially when we have people that we're having issues with, that we're not getting along with, whatever it may be, we know that we have to pray for people we're struggling with, pray for our enemies, etc. But we may do it in passing, we may forget even. And when we do this, we of course aren't earnestly praying for them. And so again, one of the things I repeat all the time is that to make sure we're keeping a prayer list. So we have to make it a point. When you write something down, whether it's on a piece of paper, whether it's a memo in your phone, when you make it a point to pray for a specific person, particularly people you don't get along with, little by little then your heart grows for that person. And you'll learn to love even the least, quote-unquote, of your neighbors least, of course, quote unquote, that we put them, that we judge them as the least. All right. And so remember that even if we pray for them once, that's not the same thing as earnestly praying for a person or earnestly praying for a situation. We have to remember to be diligent and make it a point again to pray for them. Then we learn to love them. Then we learn to see Christ in them, even when we're having issues with them. Finally, do things for other people. Throughout our day, we have to be of service to others, whether that's something as small as a smile and an earnest conversation with somebody, taking an earnest interest in how they're doing, whether it's serving in a shelter, whatever it is, you have to live a life of service. We can't see Christ in others unless we're serving them, not because we want some reward or because it makes us feel good, but we serve others and try to give to others because we love them and because Christ loves them and wants us to be with him. And if we can't serve people, if our lives are not based around serving other people in all of our interactions throughout all of our days, we won't be able to see Christ in them, and we won't be able to see Christ anywhere, because Christ himself lived a life of service, and not just to those who were close to him, but to everybody, of course. So remember that we have to imagine people praying with us in the family of God, just as we desire those in our earthly families. We have to imagine ourselves praying and worshiping with everybody so that we learn not to judge them. We have to make it a point to pray for specific people, to be diligent, to record it, to write it down so we don't forget, and so that we don't pray for them in passing, which is not earnest prayer. And finally, make sure that you do things for other people and you're living a life of service as Christ did. And that way, as the disciples, Peter, James, and John, saw the glory of Jesus Christ transfigured before them, we also then will hopefully see the glory of Jesus Christ in our brothers and sisters. Glory be to God forever. Baruch mor. Unto our Lord Jesus Christ be glory, thanks and blessings for his living words to us, unto his Father who sent him for our salvation, and to his living and life-giving Holy Spirit, now and always and forever. Amen.